Welcome to Fresh Cut Grass, light conversation with turf grass professionals from across the turf industry, with your hosts, Jeff Fowler and Tanner DelVal.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Fresh Cut Grass. My name is Jeff Fowler, one of your co-hosts with me again this week and every week, Tanner DelVal. Tanner, good to have you.
Good to see you. Or good hear you, I guess.
Good to be seen. Good to be seen. Or hear me, right? I did an interview on our local TV channel this week with a guy that I've known for years. And he said, Jeff, you just have that voice for radio. And I said, yeah, I've been told I have a face for radio too. The guy's a great one. He said, I'm in the same boat, Jeff. So just keep it.
It's good.
So how are things on the East?
Cold. We're getting some first frosts here now. So lawns are recovered pretty well, I'd say. Some areas are, as you know, we were pretty dry, but areas are looking pretty good, but it's dwindling down. That the season is, I'd say the seeding window here is pretty much done.
Yeah, we're closing it up here in Western PA too. We've had a couple of frosts actually. The day that we're recording this, we had a frost, a little bit of snow flying. So nothing major that's gonna cause us to get the shovels out. But as I've said many times, and sometimes on this show, I have more pictures of our son trick-or-treating in a snowsuit than I do in a Halloween costume. We'll tend to get a little bit earlier, but hey, our guest this week, Tanner, is a little bit different pace for you and I. He is the consummate professional that came to me, I'm gonna say 15, maybe 20 years ago. I was on the road with a commercial vendor doing some safety talks all over the country. And we went to Olivet Nazarene University, just in Chicagoland. And this guy came up to me and he had a million questions, Tanner. And we've all had these people, right? Both of us have had people like this, but this guy just had a different twist to it. He kept coming, kept asking. I think like 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 years later at then STMA, now SFMA conference, I hear my voice, or I hear this voice from across the parking lot yelling at me, and I turn it around and it's this guy that we now have on the show. And it's a great story that he'll share with us about how he got to where he is. Andy Ahman. Andy, good to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to see you, Jeff. I was pestering.
No, I don't mean it that way at all, but that's a pretty good depiction of the way we met, right? We were at this meeting and you went on to tell us earlier that you met another guy there that ended up being a pretty good relationship. Why don't you tell our listeners how you got into this business? Because I got to say first, Andy has a full-time job working for a major corporation. Well, let's just say he's been Field of the Year through STMA. So we won't even depict everything about that because, you know, there's a lot of hours in a Field of the Year. But Andy, why don't you tell us your story?
Well, thanks. Yeah, and I appreciate it. It's humbling to get to be able to speak to you guys and get on podcasts like this. So thanks again for having me. The story began many years ago when I was coaching my now 28 and 26 year old sons playing little league baseball or pony baseball. Actually, one of my sons was in the championship game, two outs, bottom of the ninth inning. We're in the field, we're up by a run. The other team has a runner on second and the batter, and a routine ground ball goes to my shortstop, who was the best player in the league. I come out of the dugout with my hands in the air saying, we just won the championship, and the ball goes straight over his head between the two outfielders, and you can only imagine what 8-year-old outfielders are like. Well, both those runs came in, and we lost in the matter of 15 seconds of him round or 30 seconds of him rounding the base and the ball getting thrown all over. We lost the game. And you know, the kids were like, you know, what did we do? And I said, you did nothing. The ball took a bad hop. And I said, you know, and I remember standing on the infield looking down going, this thing is terrible. And I actually quit playing baseball in fifth grade because I got hit in the face with the ball. And I was like, you know, I'm a bigger guy. I'm going to play football instead where I got something on my face that will protect me. So long story short, I ended up playing college football, came back. Kids didn't want to play football. Don't think I want them to play football. So they're in baseball. And I thought, boy, I gotta figure out how to make this place safer, more playable. You know, I got a pretty good front yard, so maybe it's something similar to that. And what can I do? So I started asking questions around this complex and ran into an acquaintance of mine who was kind of doing some things. And he said, yeah, you know, we mow every once in a while whenever we get a chance, and just a bunch of guys that come around. And I was like, well, it, you know, kind of looks like it needs some fertilizer. Yeah, we've got some bags in the shed. And so I kept nosing around, and similar to you, Jeff, I kept asking a lot of questions. And I finally got a key to the big shed. And the day they handed me the key to the shed, I said, get out of my way. I'm going to do something.
That's when you know you made it, right? When you get a key to the big shed, not the one where they store the bases and the chalkers, but the big shed.
The big shed. It was a big day for me. And I remember walked in there. Oh my gosh, it was a train wreck. It looked like a bunch of volunteer dads had taken care of that facility. So the next day I ordered a couple dumpsters and we hauled a bunch of material out. I found bags of fertilizer and I literally told a guy, I threw in our fertilizer spreader and I said, just go dump this all over the field. I had no idea what the setting was at. Just get it out of the shed, and it's better out there than it is here. Even if it's dead fertilizer, it'll work. And it just snowballed from there. And then I realized that taking care of athletic fields was a little different. This dirt thing was a whole different animal. So that's why I ended up at the conference where you were and said, I got to figure out how do you level things and how do you keep it from getting muddy and how do you do, you know, everything. So I went to that conference and you were speaking with your history with the Little League World Series. And I'll be honest with you and Larry DeVito, who was there that same day, made an incredible impression on me. So that's why I took advantage of it. So so then, from there, we, you know, started a whole grounds crew program with the complex. The board of directors had a little bit of faith in me. And I said, you know, can I have a small budget where I can pay a couple high school or college kids to kind of be out here every day and put down chalk the right way? We used chalk. We switched to paint, which I think was the best thing we ever did. But you know, scrape up chalk lines and put chalk down and drag and you know, maybe paint a foul line here or there because we didn't have foul lines at the place. And every year I just kind of tried to expand on what we had done. And the board had more and more trust in me as we went, and the budget got bigger and bigger. I remember one board meeting, they asked me, well, how much money do you need? And I said, as much as you got, you know, I said, the sky's the limit for me. I said, I'm going to keep going and I'm going to keep pushing until you guys tell me no. And then I'll work with what I've got. But, you know, I'd love to get into fairway mowers, golf course mowers, real mowers. And they're like, what are those? We can't mow out here with that. I said, watch me, you know. So it went from it was a pretty fun process. And, you know, 20 years is a long time. And the amount of stories that spin around in my head of how I got there was pretty fun. But one of the fun ones was getting our irrigation system. Jeff, you'll like this one. So I was climbing up a ladder to change the incandescent light bulbs in our scoreboards because it was championship week, right? And I thought, you know, we better be able to read the numbers. So I was climbing up the scoreboard and I walked by the sponsor name and it was a BMW sponsorship. And the guy had not sold BMWs for 8 years. So nobody had changed the sign. Nobody had called about the sign. So I climbed down off the ladder and picked up the call and called the local BMW store. And I said, hey, we're advertising BMWs for the guy across the street. Are you guys interested in getting a new sponsorship? They're like, well, and honest to God, he goes, I'm headed out to lunch right now. I'll be there in a few minutes. And he came out and he goes, you're kidding me. We're up there. We're definitely there. He goes, boy, this scoreboard's kind of crappy. And I said, yeah, you know, it's got some age on it. And he said, let me talk to my partner and get back to you. And he looks around and he goes, you have four of those here. And I said, yeah, I'm getting there. Hang on here. And he said, gives me a call back about a week later and said, hey, we're going to put all new scoreboards up and put our name underneath them. All LED, bigger, remote control. I said, great. And I go, well, what do you want? And he goes, we just want to host our softball game there. Done. You know, so they have a Chrysler versus Chevy softball game. And then the BMW guys kind of go back and forth. So we held the softball game. And the next thing he goes, well, what would be the next project you guys want? I said, well, we need irrigation. That's it. And I said, yeah, you know, so next spring, about 10 trucks show up one March morning, and I've got $100,000 worth of irrigation system installed by this dealership in a matter of 3 days. Unbelievable. So, and I think the irrigation and the fertility is what really kind of spawned it all. So kind of a fun way to get to where I did, and everything was kind of just ask the questions, right? Because the answer could always be no. But if you don't ask it, the answer is always no.
Yeah. If you don't hear an answer, you don't know what the answer is, right?
Exactly.
We operated our facility that I volunteered at for about that same 20 years the same way. A little bit different start to mine because my kid was four and I took him in to sign him up for T-ball. And of course, I had to sign my name to do it. And they're like, you're Jeff Fowler. And I'm like, yeah, why? And they're like, how would you like to be on the board? we heard about you, and then it just evolved into that. But that's a great story, Andy. So what did you end up, you know, you took it from a bad hop to what was then STMA, what is now SFMA, Field of the Year. So that's a big process. That you don't just take a random backyard field and turn it into an STMA Field of the Year overnight. And you've kind of talked about your process of unveiling, but how about the fertility and, you know, actually doing the work? How did you grasp all that information? And I mean, this is what Tanner and I do for a living. It'd be, you know, kind of easy to just take for granted how somebody learns to do that.
Well, yeah. And it was quite a process, and it was a lot of learning. It was learning that I didn't know I needed. Right. So I was one of those guys that had the Scotts fertilizer for my front yard, and I had the 4-step program. You put it down. I didn't even know there was three numbers on a bag. Right. And I was like, you know, what is this? So I actually called, we had a company that sort of had done some work for us, FS Farm Town. They're big in Central Illinois. They help farmers and all that stuff, but they also do some turf. And I met the guy and I said, hey, we need help. I got some money. What can I do? And he was an amazing local vendor and mentor for me, and said, well, you know, here's where you start and here's how you do things. So the first thing we need to do was grow grass because the fields were so compacted. They hadn't been fertilized. And so I hired a company to come in and aerate, a golf course company to come in and aerate. And the first field they did, they had done the aeration, and the board of directors at my complex had an emergency meeting to have me kicked out because they thought I ruined the field. They had never seen aeration like that before. Swear to God. And then I borrowed a slit seeder from another company, a tractor. We had a little 20 horsepower tractor, and the seeder could barely fit on it, but seeded and aerated, and it grew in, and it was great. And then we got into some top dressing, and my whole point to start was get enough plants out there that the ball will bounce somewhat straight and try to level it out, right? So aerate the heck out of it, drag them, get some grass growing, get some new varieties of seed in there. And all this was through, you know, working with this guy just asking a bunch of questions, going, how do I make this better? And then through STMA or SFMA and certifications there, I kind of dove into it and gave myself I wouldn't nearly call myself a bachelor's degree, but a 2-year degree in turf science, and tried to learn a little bit more about why things happen. As you know, I've never been afraid to ask questions. So I made really good friends with a local golf course superintendent, and said, you know, when I had a spot that was brown, I would say, hey, why is this area look like this and that area doesn't? And he would come out and give me some pointers and ideas, and just kind of a whole bunch of trial and error as well, I think, through the years. But yeah, the biggest thing was I knew I needed more grass. That's all there was to it. Yeah, you know, a good turf canopy can at least hide uneven grade, so to speak. And that was the biggest goal, was to get as much grass growing as I could. But the aeration thing was pretty funny.
So you must have heard one of my talks before you did that, because I tell people all the time that your goal should be for your coaches to crest the hill, look at the field and go, holy mackerel, what did you do? You just rototilled it.
Yeah.
That I tell people that all the time. I don't mean taking one of those spike aerators and running it over once or twice. That's not aerification. That's tickling.
My saying is I tell coaches, like high school coaches, like, hey, we got a bunch of dads with the aerator. I said, here's how you aerate. I said, aerate it as many times as you possibly can until you're sick to your stomach that you think you ruined your field, and then make one more pass.
Make one more pass. Yep.
I said, then you know you've done a good job.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So Tanner, pretty interesting story. And it went a little further than that. Andy, this thing doesn't just stop with making a field of the year. Where did you go from there with it?
Well, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, our complex was 6 fields. We hosted about 1,400 games a year, about 1,200 players, a lot of players from out of town. We had a little travel program and came in, and, you know, we made, obviously, with Little League, you made quite an impression. Mowing grass at 1.25 inches with golf course mowers and dragging fields and wetting them down before games and all that stuff. So, you know, a lot of questions like, how do you guys do this? So then local high schools and other organizations started calling and asking me for help. And I was spending more time helping other fields and other places that I thought, you know, not to be selfish, but I thought, you know, there might be a little bit of a business or a need for this, at least in Central Illinois. So I was literally at a Toro event, sitting down, looking at some of the new Toro equipment, and this golf course superintendent sat across from me. I'd never met him before. And he said, you know, what do you do? And I kind of told him my story. He's like, well, it's funny because I'm in golf courses, and we just rebuilt a little softball field and had a blast doing it. And we're kind of thinking about making a business out of this. And I said, that's pretty funny because I'd love to make a business out of it too. I'm pretty good with dirt. I'm learning a lot about grass. And he goes, well, I'm pretty good with grass, learning a lot about dirt. And it was kind of a marriage formed right there. So we threw together a little LLC, and it kind of just spawned off from there now. And now he has since left his golf course and is full time in our business. And my goal is here soon to leave the corporation that I'm at and become full-time as well. So
I'm fascinated by that. That's great.
Yeah. That's a success story there for sure. So this new enterprise that you're involved with, what type of services do you provide, and do you folks do to fields or lawns or whatever type of turf we're talking about?
Sure. Yeah. We like to focus on athletic surfaces. I think we, all three of us were athletes at one time, either in high school or college, and really enjoy the sport of it. And so it usually starts off with a consultation, you know, hey, our football field's rough shape, or our baseball field's in rough shape. What can it be? So we primarily work on fertility and put together fertility programs. We bought a deep tine aerator, which has been tremendous for us. And, you know, you do that on one field in the fall, and the difference it makes in the spring for somebody is tremendous. We have done zero marketing, and, you know, we're turning away business right now. So it's just been full time for us, to keep up. oh gosh, I lost my train of thought there, but yeah, we're taking care of University of Illinois grounds now. So all of their natural grass surfaces, a lot of laser grading for baseball fields. You know, Jeff, I'm sure you've done it over the years. The pulling strings is kind of a neat way to do it when you don't have much of a budget, but when you can set up a laser rotating razor beam and it can just ride that beam, it's pretty sweet kind of thing. And then with my partner's golf course experiences, we're starting to get into a little bit of golf course maintenance too. We do all with that deep tine, we do a lot of greens and tee boxes through the fall as well.
What type of a piece of equipment is that deep tine aerator?
We've got a Wiedemann, 3-point aerator that's behind our tractor. So,
how deep does it go?
We can go up to 8 to 12 inches deep. We try, it's tough depending on the ground. You usually don't get quite that out of it, but 4 to 6 is kind of your general, I'd say, soccer and football field. If we pull cores. If we go with the needle tines, we can get a little deeper if we go solid tine.
How wide of a pass does that do at a time?
It's wider than our tractor. I think it's a 5-foot box, or maybe it's 6 foot. I think it's a 6-foot box on the back of that. So.
And as far as seeding, you're doing that in conjunction with seeding as well, typically?
Yeah, we have an aerator as well, seed box aerator, which works out really well. So if we're, a football field at the end, if you have a real muddy fall season and we've gone in and deep tined, and then we pulled that aerator with the seed box on the back of it, and we'll drop a whole bunch of seed down as well in the fall. And similar to you guys, our seeding window is abruptly ended here in central Illinois. But yeah, we try to seed as much as we can if it needs it. And, most high schools or colleges don't have the knowledge. So they don't know. They're looking at us. What do we need to do to make this better? And we'll go through and evaluate the canopy and the coverage and figure out if it needs seeding the whole field or just between the hashes or whatnot. And usually there's pretty good trust with us because of our reputation.
Now that aerator that you folks use, is that like a behind a tractor or like on a vent track?
No, it's behind a tractor. The vent track's pretty interesting. It's got our attention, but ours is a pull behind. It's actually a 7-foot wide aerator. It's a huge machine. In fact, I did my father-in-law. My father-in-law has about an acre backyard, and I did his backyard, and I showed up with that thing. And he was like, "You've got to be kidding me." And I said, "Well, we'll get done fast, won't we?"
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's a piece of equipment that it really can do a really nice job. I'd like to get one myself, but that's a pretty big truck. How big of a tractor is that you have pulling that?
We've got a 60 horsepower tractor.
Yeah.
With big turf tires on it. And I tell you what, our turf tires are starting to crack, and you want to try to find tires right now, this time of year or any time. I literally spent almost every day on the phone for a month trying to track down tires, and we've got some ordered. They're still not here. So we're praying that it still holds there.
Andy, I have a client that has a top dresser that takes airplane tires. That's what they have on it. And they need to replace them. And it'd be cheaper for them to buy a new top dresser,
yeah,
than it would be to buy two airplane tires, jet tires to put on their aerator.
Oh my gosh, unbelievable! Our next purchase we'd like to get is a turf planer. I'd love to get one of those turf planers. Either Black has one, and Coro has one. Top Maker,
yeah.
But unfortunately, our tractor doesn't have quite the gearing on the back end for it. So now, not only do you have to buy that machine, but you got to buy the tractor as well. And it gets really expensive really fast. So
you're referring to like a phrase mower.
Yes. Yes. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Those have come in handy, in a lot of places, and, long even before phrase mowing, that was a term, those turf planers uh, were were pretty top makers or whatever you wanted to call them. They were pretty valuable and still are.
Well, even lip tear out right on a field, you could come in and tear that lip out really quick and get that done rather than sod cutter and then bringing a scraper or a box blade behind it and trying to get that level. It'd be pretty sweet to have one. So someday.
So other things that you folks do are like fertilization, spraying. Do you do like fungicide applications, stuff like that?
We do. We do all of the above, preventative and post-emerge stuff. We're in a couple golf courses we've helped out with, especially if a superintendent gets behind. Sometimes they'll call us or a machine will break down. They'll help us out. It all depends on the program. University of Illinois, obviously a very high-end facility, so we do the whole program from start to finish with growth regulators and preventative and granular and top dressing and all that stuff down to your local high school that says, hey, we got a budget for one application of granular. When and where should we put it down? So we do all the arrange and it's always tough. As you get the person that calls you and said, hey, we want this field as nice as possible. Well, I get that, but can you afford it? And you don't mean that rude, but you also mean like, this isn't cheap to do.
Andy, when I get called out to similar situations, even in home lawns, I have people who will say to me, I want the best. I can get you an NFL field. I can, we can do that. We have the knowledge. It's a matter of how dedicated you want to be to obtain that. I mean, are you ready to I want, in my case, I want PNC Park, or I want, the Lincoln Financial in Pennsylvania. Like, well, we can do it, but you better go hire yourself some more people to help, to help do that work, because they've got a crew. It's not just one person doing that when they come home from work.
I swear to God, in the last 2 weeks, I had a local high school private Christian school call me, and a little league team is going to use their field, and they got a pretty good high school team this year. They said, hey, Andy, we want you to come out and take a look at our baseball field. So I showed up, and the coach is there, the little league coach, and a couple representatives are there, the athletic director is there, and I said, we want our field like you have at Pony. And I said, okay. And I said, now that field won field of the year at SDMA. So it's pretty lofty goal. Yeah, I know, but we got a bunch of volunteers. We want to do it. And I said, okay. I said, so we'll need to tear the whole outfield out and rebuild it. We'll have to put irrigation in. And their eyes kept getting bigger and bigger. And they're like, well, what kind of money are you talking about? And I said, roughly $100,000, I would say, to get, if you want this quickly. I said, it'd be about $100,000 project, just guessing. And they said, well, we've got about $2,500. Yeah. And I said, okay, this conversation is going to change really quickly.
Yeah. And we'll make the infield look like the Pony field.
Well, not even that. I mean, it was a 90. You'll appreciate this. It was a 90-foot skinned infield. So there was over a half an acre of dirt. And really, really bad dirt, Jeff. So we brought our laser box down and graded out because it was really out of whack. It was really cool because the next time it rained, they were blown away by the fact that, we got rid of all the low spots and water was actually flowing off the field. And it was still disgusting in my opinion and my expertise, but they were happy. And that's what made it worthwhile for us. So.
Tanner, you hear him talking. We got it lasered the right way, and the water was running off of this thing just the way it's supposed to. It's almost like he's been to one of our events, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hey, water runs downhill. I learned that quickly.
Yeah, exactly. It's lazy, right? Water's lazy.
It is. Well,
on skinned areas, that's everything. I mean, it's all about water, moving the water away from its where it needs to go. And then, when you talk about the mound and the plate, if you're talking about baseball or softball, it's managing that clay.
Yeah.
And,
it's such a big, and people will say, how do I fix my low spots? And I said, well, you don't have low spots. You have high spots. I said, the dirt's not, I mean, there is some erosion, but if you've got a low spot that's holding water, that means that the areas around it are high. And it's funny, you can change the mentality of somebody when you kind of put it that way. And, you know, whenever I had puddles at my ballpark before I got the laser grader or did any of that, I would rake around a puddle and shove water into the water, into the, or shove dirt into the puddle, the actual puddle itself, because, and I don't know why, it just clicked in my head one day. And then you've got the moisture to make the two materials bond together. And so I always tell people you have high spots and not low spots, and it kind of helps ring a bell with them. But yeah, it's the dirt management's unbelievable. It's such a different animal than a lot of people think.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Now, it's amazing, you know, when people see good results, they may not think that they have, or they don't want to spend money on it. And then they get something and they're like, wow, that's a lot better. What else can you do? Or if it's a high school where they, you know, they're trying to make seven fields look okay. It's like, no, just make one field amazing. And then you'll eventually be able to get, they'll say, oh, we want them all to look like that. And then they'll find the money in a lot of cases. And okay, a lot of times you can build it up to try to justify that through player safety. I mean, kids would rather play on a nice field than a garbage field. But the problem is that there are certain folks that either think that, you know, whether it be synthetic turf is a solution, or if they want to buy new jerseys, and, you know, it depends where they're allocating their money. I mean, I'm very familiar with dealing with, you know, it gets very difficult when you get into volunteer organizations, though, because there's a constant turnover and you're constantly retraining people how to do things. You know, the worst thing that I see on these little league fields, especially, are not using tarps on their, you know, their mound and their plates, you know,
or using them wrong.
Yeah. Or only putting it on when it's going to rain. It's like, well, that's not how it works.
Correct. Well, it's funny you say that about one field at a time, because that's more detail to my story was, you know, I basically took care of my son's field, and I actually went to the next year's field because he was going to move up to the next field. And I took care of that one. And about 2 years later, at the board meeting, they're like, boy, we can sure tell where Andy's kids are going to play. And I said, you know, a little more budget and I might be able to do it on all the fields. But it was, I always jumped one level above where my children were going to be. And even when they got into junior high baseball, I went to the varsity baseball coach at the high school and said, hey, I kind of know a little bit about this stuff. Do you mind if I start working on your field? And they're like, well, I don't even know who you are. I said, well, I got a son playing down in junior high. He's going to be up here in a couple years, and I'd really like to, you know, help you out. And he was thrilled. The landscape company that was taking care of the field was a little bit ticked off at me because I made him kind of look a little bit bad. when the softball field next to the baseball field didn't quite look the same, they got a little frustrated with me. So,
Andy, your story is very similar to mine. I always started with the field that our son was on, and I'd move to the league in front of him. And start working on it. And then when he got old and got out of school and stopped playing ball, I kept doing it until we finally moved away from that town. And I haven't been back to look at him since. It'd be interesting to see him.
So, Andy, I have a question. You have taken this, you know, this journey from that bad hop all the way to, you know, where you're at now and be involved in another enterprise doing, you know, athletic field care and professional turf care. What is one thing that you have either learned or discovered on your own? Is there a practice, whether it be like aeration or something that you try to work into every field or every project that improves a field? Is there, or maybe it's not going to improve everything, but is there one thing that you are like, this practice makes such a difference?
That's a great question. And I think it's aeration. I honestly do. I think I didn't know much about it. You know, when I was taking care of my yard, didn't know much about it at all. I knew golf courses did it every once in a while, but the more I learned about it, and it's the one thing that you speak to athletic directors and coaches and administrators about, that they don't know much about it either. And why? they just know it makes the field a mess for a couple of days, but the long-term impacts are good. So at my complex that we're at, the most expensive piece of equipment we had was an aerator. Now, everything else we bought used, and old golf course mowers and sand pros and all that stuff. But the aerator we bought brand new because we knew we were going to use it a lot. And I use that thing almost weekly in my ballpark, whether it was, needle tining the walk-up areas, just a real quick needle tine to try to get the compaction down from dugout to home plate to coaches boxes. We had grass base paths at our complex, and every fall we cut the grass out of the base path and we put new sod in. Well, once I got this aerator and I would needle tine it about every other week or every third week and overseed it a little bit, we no longer had to do that. And it was night and day what a difference it made. So I would say, aeration is probably number one and irrigation would be number two. People know about fertilizers and they know somewhat about mowing. But those are the two things that people don't realize what an immediate impact it can make.
Yeah. And aeration is something that, for the most part, I mean, there is a cost to it, but it's something that folks can do. And there's a lot of different types of aerators out there. But the irrigation thing, that's something that I don't see too many places outside of really high-end schools. At least in the area that I live, there's not many places that are irrigated. Some folks, they might use a water reel, that's something, but it's not as good as like in-ground irrigation.
Well, I got to tell you, so back to my story of starting with the bad hop. So the infield was this gets pretty fun here. Hold on, somebody's calling. The infield it was really dry. It was in bad shape. And I grabbed a garden hose for my house, and I actually borrowed my neighbor's garden hose and ran it all the way from the concession stand to the 60-foot base path field that my kid was playing on, and put a little oscillating sprinkler on it as I fertilized it. And so it was 200 plus feet of hose running and barely any water pressure, but I went and moved it a couple times. And finally somebody came to me and said, we have a hydrant hookup at each field. And supposedly was it, so they had to dig it out and find it. And I figured out how to work it and stuff. But I would agree. And I started off with, once we got our first irrigation install was just infields only. We did infields only, so infield and foul territory. And then, later we did outfields through an amazing donation. We did the outfields, but completely agree. I was like, where is the game played? The game's played on the infield. Let's try to get some there. So did a lot of research into irrigation systems and got a couple bids. And it took a couple years to get our board of directors on board. But finally, we got the infield irrigation. And once they saw that, how good that was, it made a difference. So.
That's fantastic. Now, that aerator that you said that you use and you put needle tines on, is that a tractor-driven type?
No, I actually got the Toro walk behind 648 because I wanted the bigger one, and my board of directors actually gave me permission to buy it. But then I thought, I can teach a 14-year-old kid how to walk behind this air. It's self-driven. You got to press a button for up and down and they can walk on it. If I do a tractor, I got to teach them tractor gearing. You got to trigger the PTO. You got to make sure you don't turn with it down, all the different things. So we went with a walk behind it, and it's a longer process. It took 6 hours to do a high school outfield. One of our fields is a high school, small college field. And it was 6+ hours, but you tell a kid, I'm going to pay you to listen to music and get some sun, and they'll they'll do it. Or retired.
What about a riding type, like they use in like lawns and things like that?
We never did because it didn't pull enough cores, in my opinion. We used to have a rolling aerator that went behind, but you'd have to make 4 or 5 passes or more. But then your tire compaction is going right back over top of it, right? So then you're like, am I competing against compaction and that? So we always, I did, aerate 4, 5, 6 directions with the pull behind, but once we got the walk behind Toro aerator, it was just one pass on about the second lowest gear as possible. And, I think we talked about it, people would think I ruined the field. And I said, give me a couple weeks and you'll see the difference. So
Now after you did that and you pulled all those cores, what size tines were they? Half inch?
half inch is what I'd go. Half inch about, try to get about 3-inch depth.
Yeah. And did you drag? Because those are natural soil, I assume. You weren't.
Yeah, we're all native soil.
So you're just dragging them back in then, or are you just letting them degrade?
If you know, it's such a fine window of time that you have that the cores can actually break apart. But we'd always try to drag them, and I'd take our infield drag and put about 2 or 3 old drag mats behind me, with cinder blocks on it, and just drag the crap out of those. You know, the rougher areas, I would go really slow to try to grind them up and get into the low spots. The areas that were pretty good, we'd kind of fly across the field, but we tried it all. And weather and time dictated a lot of it. With our company, when we pull cores, we always drag the fields out when we pull the cores with our company that we've got going now. So,
and what's the drag that you use for that?
Boy, we've got it's a Core Buster golf course drag that's about 8 feet wide. And the thing's heavy as heck. You know, we pull it behind a Cushman golf course cart, and it's heavy.
One pass enough?
One pass is usually enough, depends on how hard it is. We'll make a couple if needed, because it doesn't take long at all.
And you're using is that a Pro Core?
No, with ours, our deep tie aerator for Professional Outdoor Solutions is a Wiedemann.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love the story, Andy. We could talk all day, because your story is so similar to the way I got started. And honestly, the way my dad got started, and the way our CAFMO chapter in Pennsylvania got started, was people like you who had a passion, who got together and started talking about their stories, and next thing you know, they were caring more about their fields, and everybody wanted to be like Andy's field, and everybody wanted to be like Jeff's field, and everybody, and it just kind of spreads. At least what I've seen is that it kind of has a wider spread, because then the neighboring town comes over and plays, and they're like, hey, I want a field like that one, and it just keeps getting better and better in an area. And it's really cool to watch. I think it's really fun to see. And I appreciate you being on the show today with us, Andy. Tanner, I mean, we could go forever and ever, but we're pressing up against the witching hour here. Is there anything that you want to ask here before we call to the bullpen and get the three strikes and you're out questions ready for Andy?
I think I'm ready.
All right.
Yeah. Let me say one thing real quick, Jeff, because I think I'd be Jeff Tanner, if you don't mind. I get a lot of credit for what I did at that ballpark, and I was the leader of it all and kind of did it. But I couldn't have done it without the volunteers and the young kids, the ground crew guys that we have and stuff like that too. So it's not like I did everything all myself. And you know, if one of those people or happen to listen to the show, thank you for all your efforts and work that you did over the years and trusting me. But you know, just to be clear, there's not enough hours in the day for me to do that. As you know, I mean, when you got a major league field, I always laugh. You got a major league field with 8 guys, full-time guys there, and not a game. And I said, you know, we have 2 guys for 6 fields, and we have 12 games that night.
Right. So that's very admirable of you to say that, Andy, because it absolutely is not just one person, right? It takes somebody to drive the ship. But if all the crew, so to speak, on the ship aren't having the sails pointed the same direction, so that the wind's blowing us in one way, and wasting resources, it takes a leader, but it takes a whole team. So very admirable of you to thank those folks as well for their support and work. So I guess I'll get the pitch. I'll come out of the bullpen first, Tanner. Andy, the one question we typically ask all of our guests as their first pitch, and it's kind of a softball EFIS pitch, if you will, underhand, easy one, kind of to get you warmed up as well. What do you like to do in your spare time? What are your hobbies? What when you're not laser grading turf or overseeding or aerating? What do you enjoy? Now, I got to say, you're not allowed to say in this instance, work on the ball field. because that's what we have you here for. What do you like to do other than that?
Well, now that I've had kids that are grown and out of the house and not doing travel sports anymore, I've rediscovered my golf game. So back when I was younger, I used to play before kids. I played a lot of golf and played fairly decent golf at one point in time. And then I probably went 20 years of playing 2 to 3 rounds a year, and that was it. And in the last couple of years, I've rediscovered the golf game and really enjoying getting back out to it and the camaraderie of it. And so I'd say golf is it, because I can't get hurt playing golf. Well, I'm a football guy, so I've had a lot of surgeries and a lot of broken parts in my days. And I figured if I can do golf and I can not get hurt for the most part.
That's good.
Kind of. I was golfing one time with a friend of mine, and he took a ball in the mouth from a neighbor from the next hole over. He took it literally right into teeth. We were playing on a scramble, and that was our scramble got cut short because of
not good
a stray ball. But for the most part, you're right. No broken bones. Right. Tanner, what do you have for Andy?
Well, this is a unique question. I maybe asked it once before, but for someone that didn't come through a traditional route of going to college right away and you being in the turf industry right away, I'm curious to know if you ever made we've all made mistakes, but I'm curious if there's a kind of a mistake that maybe you made that you learned from, or maybe there's a mistake that you thought was kind of funny that you were like looking back, like, why did I do that? You know, I don't know if there's something that you want to share.
Andy,
there's
only
a
one.
Whole lot of
only one.
I was going to say there's a whole lot of trial and error going through my head. What my board thought was a mistake was the first time we legitimately aerated our field, right? With a pro aerator, golf course style. They thought I ruined the field. Actually voted to have me kicked out of the ballpark because they thought I'd ruined the field, but it ended up being the right thing. The one thing that always comes to my mind was learning dirt and trying to figure out how to take care of the dirt skin infield. And the practice when I got there was when it rained, you did nothing. But as soon as it was done raining, you took a nail drag and dragged it as deep and heavy as you can to get as much air in the system as possible so it would dry out faster, right? So I'll never forget a day. There was supposed to be some light rains in the afternoon and then games that evening. So I thought, well, I'm going to get ahead of the game. So I'm going to go out at noon and I'm going to really heavy drag, nail drag this field and get it really soft, ready for the air. Well, guess what field did not play that night? It was the field that was just pure mud.
Mud.
I was at a major league game and they were doing some award for a player and they drove a car across the infield dirt. I'll never forget this. And the light bulb just went off in my head. I went, that dirt is really hard, so to speak, right? And I was like, because there's no way you could drive a car across my infields, no way, without leaving big tire tracks and all stuff. So that was about the time I came and saw you, Jeff, was how do I do this dirt stuff? And the more you roll it, the better. And boy, getting the mentality of our volunteers and our coaches to change over from dragging it as heavy as you can to actually doing nothing, it was really difficult to change that mindset. So absolutely. There you go. That's the first one that came to mind.
That's a good one too. That's a good one. So I'm going to go a little non-traditional here, Tanner. I've used this one before, but I think Andy's going to hit a home run on this one. And Andy, this is, I've used this 2 or 3 other times. It didn't work real well with the guests we had. So if this doesn't work, it's not your fault. It's all on me. I'll take full credit for it. I have some jingles from back when we were kids, because I know how old your kids are. You told us it's the same age as my kid. We can say that we're just about the same age because you're talking about retirement and all those good things. So here they are. I've got 12 of these And I'm going to try to say the jingle, not sing the jingle. And I want you to tell me what product it was for.
Oh, boy. Okay.
All right.
Yeesh.
My baloney has a first name.
Oscar Mayer.
I don't want to grow up.
Toys R Us.
I told you this was going to work out, Tanner. Give me a break. Give me a break.
Kit Kat bar.
The best part of waking up.
Folgers. I don't even drink coffee.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Planters peanuts, right?
Nope.
Sometimes
you feel like a nut. Sometimes
you don't. It's a candy bar. It's
candy. What's candy. Your last name?
It's Almond Joy. Yes.
Almond Joy and Mounds. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Struggling with that one.
Like to teach the world.
I got the jingle, but I can't think of what product it was.
It was Pepsi. It was a Pepsi okay. commercial. Reach out and touch someone. Now we're going a little bit down the reach out and touch someone.
It's a cell phone company.
Yeah, it was an AT&T commercial.
AT&T, I was going to say, yeah. Time. Yeah.
If you dare wear short shorts.
That was, wasn't that Nair?
Yep. Yep. It was Nair. Yep. See, Tanner, this is perfect. They're magically delicious.
Cereal, Lucky Charms.
Yep. Yep. You're hitting a home run here, man.
Uh-oh.
Meow, 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 meow.
Purina Cat Chow or something like that.
Yeah. Chow, chow, chow.
Yeah. I'm a dog guy. Sorry. I don't know much about cat.
This is a plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief.
Alka-Seltzer.
So kiss a little longer, hold hands a little longer.
Oh, gosh, I can hear it, but I can't think of what it is.
The Juicy Fruit?
Nope. Big Red. Big red chewing gum.
It's gum.
Big Red chewing gum. Andy, that was awesome.
Thank you. A lot of fun.
I tried that with some younger people, and they just looked at me like, you're insane, old man.
Oh, my gosh. The stories we tell around our office, we've got a couple of young kids there, and yeah, we're the old guys now, and some of the stories about floppy disks and phones that you actually had, to dial, rotary dial phones. It's hilarious. Andy, I showed a picture of a phone outlet on my wall, and they had no idea what it was.
We had an intern in the office one time, and we were cleaning out a storage closet, and we had an old laptop. You know, they were like 3 inches thick when they first came out.
Yeah.
And this person was like, what in the world is that? I'm like, that's a laptop computer, man. she was just astonished that it was like the thickness of a desktop unit now. But this person was off the charts with, I can't believe that computers were that big. Oh, I said, you don't know what a big computer is.
ask a young kid about yellow pages and they'll be like, what are you talking about?
yeah. Or just a phone book in period. Just a phone book.
Phone book in period, yeah.
Yeah, just a phone book in general, right? Andy Allman, it's been great to have you on the show today.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you joining us and taking some time to talk about your story and your fields and your business and kind of all how it has all evolved into something of a career for you. We really appreciate it. And I'm glad you asked those questions to me 20 some years ago at the field day that I was speaking at. So Tanner, I'm going to let you take us home, but I'll remind our listeners that they can get a hold of us at freshcutgrass@psu.edu. If they have questions or a particular episode that they'd like to have us cover.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks again. I want to echo Jeff's thank you as well. That was a really unique story. I think it's very interesting how you can, and a lot of people in this industry kind of have that one moment or a situation and they can turn that into a turf career. And I think a lot of us in this industry really are passionate about what we do. And we can tell that you are as well. And we're always learning. And we always like to share ideas with other folks. I mean, I took notes from today, I'm going to be probably looking into some things that you did that I learned today. So I really do appreciate your time, and hopefully we can meet up here in the future. But other than that, I want to thank our listeners for tuning in, and we'll talk to everyone next time.